A look at the news near your neighborhood. The Fairfield University Graduate and Professional Studies around the region. Now on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We have got to talk about the Enfield story. A 12-year-old girl who was found dead almost a month ago. It was last month. Eve Rogers found on the floor of a bedroom. And now we're learning more about this case. Full disclosure, I honestly wanted to avoid talking about this case because when you hear about a 12-year-old girl just mysteriously being found dead in her home, you know it's not going to end well, especially if within the first 48, 72 hours, it's not, you know, a situation of, oh my gosh, this was a total accident, or you hear from the family right away. Just in the years of being a journalist, you know it's not going to be a good outcome. And so we're hearing about sexual assault. We're hearing about pills being found. Now digital devices have been seized by police. So unfortunately for him, this is the guy I lean on for basically everything. Our law enforcement expert, Gary McNamara, is back to talk about this case. He also, though, is in a unique position because he's on the board for the Center for Family Justice, which, as you know, we're very big partners with them here in Fairfield County. And they offer a wide variety of services, specifically for domestic abuse, sexual assault and child abuse. This all falls under that realm. And so, Gary, I guess we could start by just talking about what I always love to kind of pick your brain on these cases from a law enforcement, you know, standpoint. What stands out to you so far in this case? I know it's only about a month old, not even.
Yeah. So a couple things, Melissa. First of all, you're right. These are so we always seem to have these difficult conversations. But, you know, the difficult conversations and talking about these cases, I think, really is important for people to learn and understand it so we can do things to avoid future cases like this from happening. But, yeah, a couple things that are unique to this so far is while the stepfather has been charged for sexual assault, he has not been charged with a homicide, although police did go back and do a search warrant for evidence. And in that search warrant, they did indicate that they were looking for evidence of a homicide. Now, that does not mean that, he will be charged with that, but it does mean that they're certainly looking at this from that perspective. And then some of the things that were found in the search warrant itself that they seized from the residence kind of starts to paint a picture of some further follow-up that they're going to have to do with the investigation.
So I also noticed that, Gary, when I was saying in the introduction that you know it's not good when not even a couple of days, let alone a week after a little girl is found dead in her home, we don't even still know the cause of her death at this point. We still don't even know that. We just know that sexual assault is involved in some regard. Now there are digital devices suggesting she was on Roblox, which I'm going to talk to you about because we've talked about that in the past. But also there was a chat, I guess, that she was also on Discord. I don't know much about that. Do you?
Yeah. So Discord is like a deeper dive into the internet and and it's very Discord is a channel, let's just say that, that you can go to that's not easily tracked. So a lot of times what we've seen in some of these cases of violence like terrorism or other cases, people will take those conversations to Discord because Discord is more difficult to track. And generally the trend amongst – now I'm not saying that this case involves grooming from any outside people or on Roblox, but obviously you mentioned that she was on that platform – oftentimes people, groomers or sexual deviants will take our victims from Roblox or a standard channel and try to bring them to Discord because Discord allows them to be less monitored and less tracked.
Okay. And I do know, I think in the report that has come out recently, it was either on News 8 or one of the other channels, that the mom did acknowledge, the mother of the victim did acknowledge that she believed her daughter might have been engaging in inappropriate conversations at times and did sneak out of the house once, but it's not confirmed if she had met up with anybody.
Yeah, that's right. And then the police a week earlier, and this is really unclear, but there is reference to a police contact with a young girl in a shoplifting incident at a local convenience store that is somehow tied to this. Now, whether or not this is the same girl that the police encountered who stole a bottle of soda or something, but there is reference to a connection with that. Now, you know, obviously that plays into it, whether or not there was prior police contact or whether or not DCF's involved or other agencies are involved prior to this incident from occurring.
We're talking about the mysterious death of 12-year-old Eve Rogers in Enfield, Connecticut. She was found dead in her bedroom last month, and now police are releasing more information. They are going through more digital devices. They're kind of revealing more about the case, but there's still so much around this that we don't know. I mean, at this point, we're almost a month in, and we still don't even know the cause of death. So we've got Gary McNamara here, our law enforcement expert on the show. He also sits on the board for the Center for Family Justice. There are certain things, Gary, that you just outlined before that I want to just dive a little bit deeper into. First of all, let's talk about the online world, because I think a lot of families, and I'm one of those as well. Honestly, without having somebody like you in my life, I don't know if I would be better at this if not for getting advice from you. But we tend to be afraid of the unknown, or we tend to be uneasy over things that are out of our control. So we did not grow up in a tech world, but our kids did. And so our reaction is always, well, block them from it. Don't allow them to do Roblox, or don't allow them to go online, or don't, you know, we instead of leaning in, we kind of pull them away and we pull ourselves and we don't educate ourselves. And why is that maybe not the best idea, especially when you hear stories like this?
Well, because of this, a story like this, I mean, it shows that if you don't understand it, the risks become higher. And so we really have to commit as parents to understand it. And, you know, you're never going to understand it like kids do, but, you know, have those discussions, research what Discord is, research really what Roblox is, and start to understand what the risks are for that. You know, if our kids go out, or if our kids are going to New York City on a bus trip with the class, you're going to understand the risks. You're going to have conversations with your kids. You have to understand the risks, and you have to do the work on your own to do it, because this shows an example. You know, a couple other things, Melissa, with regards to that, there is reports that there were multiple DNA contributors to the DNA that was obtained at the scene, which could suggest, you know, broader concerns of whether or not there were multiple, you know, whether or not this was a grooming incident or a human trafficking or a sex trafficking kind of a case. We don't know at that point, but that is a concern. So you have to certainly understand and dive into what those online risks really are, because that is driving a lot of this. I'm not saying this is the case for that, but you have to understand that. Understand the risks, because the risks are, you know, it opens the door to outside influences.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I don't have all the answers, certainly, and I'm not, you know, putting the onus on you to have them all. But, you know, in this situation where the mother brought up, and again, this is the documents that have been released to news outlets from police. But when she brings up that you're talking about a middle schooler. OK, so we're not even talking about, I know I haven't gotten to this point in my life. You've raised kids. They're all adults now. So I'd love to get that kind of feedback. But, you know, I understand it gets harder as they get older, the more independence they have, the more that they're around their peers, the more that devices become readily available to them. But how do you manage that? So, you know, your kid is on maybe this Discord, for example, which I've never heard of, clearly. But you know they're on that. I mean, what is sort of your recommendation? Do you create your own account? Do you open up that dialogue of, hey, I want to see? I mean, I remember when I was a kid and Instant Messenger was the thing. And we didn't like it in the sense that the only way we were allowed to have it, even in high school, was every single week on a Friday, my mom had to check our friends list. And let me tell you, Gary, my mom had no issue deleting friends she didn't either know or she felt were too old for me. So if I was friends with my older brother's friends, she would tell me to delete them. Like it was not an option to be on this platform if my mom didn't check it every single week. So there was at least that, but I don't know what you suggest. That sometimes is seen as kind of archaic, or are you helicopter parenting? I mean, what do you do, you know, with something like that?
Well, knowing your mom, it doesn't surprise me that she's the leading and going through all that stuff. But I think that, you know, there's some level of that that you have to do. I mean, you can't worry about being a helicopter parent. I mean, if you think about it. And so you really just have to understand it. And there is no one red flag for some of this stuff. So I think it really, you know, now we're talking about Discord. So I think that everybody should go on and learn more about Discord and understand the concept that these groomers will transfer kids to Discord. So while they may have great things at Roblox that prevent this from happening for kids, once you get them off that, once I lock you in and you're mine, I bring you to Discord, and then the whole world opens up for that. Melissa, one more thing I really want to point out, because I know we're short for time, that's really, I think, important and really something that's going to dive into it because of all these other cases with DCF and with homeschooling, because my understanding is that, and I'm not bringing up the homeschooling in a bad way, but I think it's going to shed light. There was something found in the search warrant called a safety. It was a document. This is just from what I read in the search warrant items that were seized. It says my safety plan. And I don't know whose safety plan that was, but generally we talk about safety plans for women or victims of sexual or domestic violence, that just in case they want to get out, how to do it, and they start writing it down. But it's also something that mental health providers provide. And child welfare professionals may be involved in developing that type of a plan. I think a lot of information is going to come out with regards to whose plan that is, who developed it, why did they develop it? Because that shows an ongoing, a lot of trauma and situations going on within that house for someone to have a safety plan. So I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
An important key component. And yeah. That's going to be a key component as we move forward in this, because I believe that someone's going to come out with this, that there was prior contact or prior concerns. I hope not. I mean, you know, obviously this is tragic, and we don't want her to, you know, I mean, this is tragic.
But yeah, exactly.
We want to get to the bottom of it.
I didn't see that, Gary. Okay, so that's really fascinating. I didn't see that. And again, to your point, I don't know whose it is. It could be the mom's. Or it could be her. I mean, now you're talking about, you know, this could be a much bigger issue. You know, so we talk about, and again, I don't want to go there yet. I guess we can kind of follow up with this. But I mean, if that's what we're talking about, and then you also see, because we've talked about this in other cases, not the Enfield case, but generational patterns. And so if the, you know, it again, not the Enfield case, but if we've seen before that if the parent or the grandparent has been in an abusive relationship, the kid tends to follow suit, or if they're in that environment, they follow suit sometimes, unless there's a generational cutting of that, like severing of that pattern. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
That's interesting. OK, so keep an eye on that, because I didn't know that. The other thing, too, though, Gary, that I want to get to is, you know, you brought it up in the beginning, which is that her stepfather, so the victim's stepfather, is being charged with sexual assault, not the murder, at least not at this point. We don't know if anybody is going to at this point, if it's going to be him or somebody else. I know police say they're anticipating more charges, but potentially more arrests. But this speaks back to something that I think is going to be your claim to fame. I hate to say that, but your phrase of kinda knows. Because this is somebody who is in her family, essentially, is her stepfather. I mean, right. And we talk about the importance of kids with identifying kind of knows. And you know, John revealed, you know, in a recent show, the idea of not having body secrets. I mean, it speaks again to that theme of we got to talk about the uncomfortable with our kids. I mean, you tailor it to their age, but things like that, I mean, it's tragic. It's hard, but you have to figure out a way to talk about that more.
You do. And that's why these conversations are so important. They're difficult to have, but you know what we have to do? We got to start getting mad as parents, as people watching this kind of stuff. We got to start getting mad and say, wait a minute, what are we actually doing here? And really start to understand this. But the kind of knows this is somebody that was living, presumably living within the house, that, you know, stepfather. So, yeah, those kind of knows, those conversations have to be had. This is happening in the house where somebody should feel most secure. A 12-year-old girl inside a house should feel most secure. And we've got to start kind of reframing this and start looking at it differently and come up with some solutions. I know they're hard, but we've got to start getting mad. We can't keep talking about these cases and we've got to come up with some concrete plans. And you know, we're going to be doing the walk a mile in her shoes in a couple of weeks. And
yeah.
We're going to be talking a lot about this. And I know we've had conversations in the past. We're getting mad about it. And we've got to start doing that and come up with some solutions.
But I agree. I think you can't sit on it anymore. Because as a society, what do we do? I mean, think about it. Totally separate from domestic violence or sexual assault. But when you have when you have a school shooting, and I know there's a huge division on who's wrong in this and who's really to blame, the gun or the person, and I'm not going there. What I am going into, though, is that you got to highlight and credit kind of the nonprofits like a Center for Family Justice in this case, or in the case of school shootings like a Sandy Hook Promise, where they're getting to the root. Let's put programs in schools where kids learn how to report or to identify when something is not right. I mean, we always will lean on, well, let's blame somebody or let's pass a law or let's blame lawmakers. And I'm not saying that they don't have a role in this, but I do think the bigger role is prevention and talking earlier and identifying earlier and taking an interest earlier. I think you have to get mad at some point, because how many times can we talk about a young child, this little girl living in our house? I mean, come on. It's awful. Awful.
Yeah, I think, you know what? You know, the best way prevention comes from details, and the details of this case can build a prevention plan for each and every one of us. So now we've, like I said, we just talked about Discord and said, oh my gosh, there's Discord. What is it? And maybe it played a role, maybe it didn't play a role, but let me understand it and do all I can to prevent it. Cases like this provide good information to prevent it from happening in the future. Everybody just has to understand all the details and then move forward and say, how can I prevent it from happening to somebody that I care about or that I love or anybody, you know, in the neighborhood or anybody that needs the help. But this information is really the starting block for some prevention steps that each and every one of us should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely keep tabs on this, Gary, as I know you will. And we'll keep talking about it, obviously, off the air. But then when more details come out, I think it is important to at least keep the conversation going and, bringing clarity to this. And how do we find action plans moving forward with our own families? Thank you so much, always, Gary. Appreciate you.